Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got the new brand out in front. This is the first time on Baltimore Positive, but certainly not the first time at WNST for one of our defending champions. And I do say champion because this is the 20th anniversary of a special night. Goose, I got some pictures of you, and I got the video that Flynn sent me that we shot on the parade route, and your beautiful daughter and your Mickey Mouse shirts and all that fun stuff. But 20 years, we're still here. We're still alive. It's all good, right?
It's great, man. It's great. Football's still going. Ravens still contenders for the playoffs and you know, contenders for the Super Bowl. I mean, but a little short this year, which I'm disappointed about, but life goes on.
Well, it's been 20 years since that big night, right? And you spend your whole life. I remember I was with you. You don't even know this, but I was up on the roof at Three River Stadium the day you guys lost to the Steelers. I found my ticket stub from that a couple weeks ago when I found a whole bunch of pictures as well. But you climbed the mountain to get to that. You came here specifically to get it. You and I spent time together. I found the picture where you had the knife up to my neck. I'll use that if I ever need it, Goose. But you know, all these years later, what does it mean that you actually won? Because it was so important. It meant everything to all of you, to all of us, to the city. What has it done for your life 20 years later?
Well, I think, you know, the big thing was, you know, getting a Super Bowl win for Art Modell. That was huge for, I think, all the guys on the team and for the town. I mean, you know, Baltimore, you know, after losing the Colts and there you go. There's a nice picture.
There's Arthur. See, I keep that right here on the set with me.
After you know, losing the Colts and, you know, having played for the Colts, you know, and hearing all the stories and how they should have done this and blah, 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 blah. It was just nice to go and bring a win home and, you know, being there for 5 years, you know, our fourth year winning it all. It was bringing the right guys in. It was special, man. It was now the greatest thing I think about winning the Super Bowl is they got to bring you back every 10 years. So I get to see all my guys every 10 years. So,
and you got cheated out of that this year though, right? Yeah. They sent you a glass, a bottle of wine, right?
Yeah,
everybody's been sharing it and there's going to be a group guards. Zoom. But right. It's not the same as coming down and doing what you did here 5 years ago and 10 years ago, right?
No, they should bring us back every year, I think. You know, it's an awesome feeling. It's really something special. And I stay in touch with most of the guys, you know, as much as we can. Thank God for social media. And Rob Burnett lives in near me over here. And I talk to most of the defensive guys and Ray and McCreary and all the characters, but it's, you know, when you win a Super Bowl, like I was saying earlier, it sort of puts an exclamation point on your career. So many guys play for, you know, 5, 8, 10 years, 12 years and never win a Super Bowl. And I think, you know, when you put the ring on and it doesn't matter where you go, you can be on an airplane. Everyone's always like, you know, what is that? What is that? You know, and it's sort of like, well, I was the best in the world at what I did at a certain point in life. And I think that's hard to beat for a lot of people.
You see all the characters, you know, you're among, I'm getting together with a bunch of you here this week, just telling stories. I found the audio from the night that you and I did the first barn show together. Right. And, you know, I was having a good time with you because I think Bob was still alive then or just at the end then. And you were coming in. The Ravens had the Barney outfits and you and Rod Woodson and, you know, Marvin being a part of recruiting you guys. And then Sam and obviously Shannon that came here. But you were sort of the first guy off the boat, Goose. You know what I mean? That chose to come to Baltimore. I think maybe Ted was a part of that. Money, I'm sure, was a part of that. But you wanted to win. And for you believe they could win here. And probably 52 was a part of that, right?
Yeah, I think a little bit of everything. I think Ted was probably the biggest factor. I haven't played for him. Lost the AFC Championship game, you know, to the Steelers with when I was with the Colts. And I knew that, you know, when I sat down with Ted and he said he had some work to do here and he had to change the locker room and the whole mentality. But, you know, when I looked at the team, they had some, you guys had players. You had people that, you know, you just got Ogden and Ray Lewis. And, you know, you had a good bunch of guys. And defensively, I thought that you were pretty stacked. So I was like, okay, you know, if I'm going to go and sacrifice myself for a guy, it better be a guy that's worth it. And I thought, you know, Ray Lewis really you know, I watched him in college and really can cover the field and do what he needs to do. And it was, you know, when I first got there, it was a little rough. The locker room was very, you know, divided and segregated. And it was like, man.
Well, there was the Cleveland contingent, right? There were a lot of guys who were really pissed about coming here. And, you know, I can name names and whatever, yeah, and brought guys out. But it was tough. And it was a facility that wasn't, that was a 1979 facility. It was an old cop station, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, it was, it's not like the facilities now, I can tell you that. But it was great. Listen, I loved it. I would rather that old facility because, you know, the locker room where we practiced was probably a third, maybe a quarter of what it is now. So guys were more together. Guys knew each other better. Guys would talk more. You know, you sit in your locker and you could talk to, you know, 30 guys. Now you can talk to maybe three guys because, you know, the other guys are half a mile away on the other side of the locker room. But it was, you know, the old steel cold tubs and, you know, everything was really condensed. But I thought that it really made us a team faster than it would have been if we were in a...
Well, they were cold tubs in racquetball courts. Let's define that, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
People would have a hard time believing that, right? That's the way it operated.
I cooked breakfast on Fridays. You know, we had like a closet that was like our meal room, if you remember that.
I do.
Going out to the facility on the left. And they would cater it, and guys would go in there and get a little bit of food. But it was like, you know, when Fridays came, they brought grits, and I had a little heating thing and brought a frying pan in, and I'd make eggs for everybody, and we have bagels. And it was, you know, I think that it was great because everybody looked forward to that. You know, you don't realize it when you're doing it. But later on, you're like, man, you know, I had a lot of fun doing that, you know, and you know, cooking for the guys and the guys, you know, everyone had to come by that meal thing. And then the coaches would come in. And I think it really put us all, you know, together. It was a more of a family than anybody would ever think. And you know, I was talking to Kevin Byrne the other day. You know, we did a Zoom call and it was, you know, how tight that group was and how much fun. I don't care. You know, you watch all these Hard Knocks and all this different stuff. I don't think there's ever been a team or ever will be a team that was as tight and had more fun on and off the field. And when the whistle blew and the switch was flipped, I mean, we got down to business and took care of business.
Goose, you just said the F word. And I had to think about this because I found all these pictures. I want to share a couple of these pictures with you from back in the day. And, right, you know, for me, like, this is us welcoming you. There's the old flying bee here. I think you would shove some food in my face, which is not, you know, unusual. I found this other one here. This is old school. And I know you never really meant to do this, but.
You look skinny there, man. God damn.
You, me or you?
You.
Well,
me too.
You know,
me too.
Well, we both looked pretty skinny. And then there, you know, then there's Happy Goose. I think this is after we won. I found this one. This was the following year because we have the Super Bowl patch on the shirt and you were promoting Ether there and having a beer, as you know, as you were known to do, you know, from time to time.
Yep.
You mentioned fun, man. Like, I see these pictures and I have not found the book. Although when Larry King died this week, Larry King wrote USA Today that my book was a good read. So like of all that, that's as close to a Pulitzer as I'm getting, dude. So I shared that this week and I thought, what are the odds? Larry King dies a couple of days before the 20th anniversary. About 3 weeks ago, Goose, I found this picture in a stack of things that I didn't even know existed. I'd never really remember this. And this picture's important for a Baltimore person, Goose, because it's the exact same angle. If you look over here where the facility is, this is where the Mayflowers were the last time. That was the picture of the iconic Mayflowers leaving. This was David delivering a trophy in the same spot. And I thought about all of this, and the Banshee and the Spear thing came back 2 weeks ago. I had Anthony Mitchell on, had Matt Stover on from the Tennessee game. And fun. Like, I think if I go back and read the book, and I haven't looked at it in 7 or 8 years, most of the conceptual stuff in there would be that all of you had been told at one point you weren't good enough or you weren't strong enough or you weren't pretty enough or you weren't a number one overall pick, but you had fun. And I trace that back to Billick a little bit, that in the modern era, and you spent a long time on the sidelines with coaches in and out of the game, there's a lot of coaches with sphincter about this tight, right? Like there's, you know what I mean? Like there are teams that win that don't have any fun. And Tom Brady may be a great example of this going down to Tampa and now going back to a Super Bowl where like fun is really important. It's hard to win if it's not fun, right?
Listen, it goes from, you know, when you're 5 years old or 7 years old, whenever you start playing the game, you got to have fun. You got to enjoy it, you know, and I think people don't emphasize the word game. It's a game. You got to have fun playing it. You know, it's just like work. If you find, you know, a job or work that you love to do and have fun, you're going to excel in it. You're going to have a great time and you're going to be really good at it. And that's sort of the same kind of, thought process that I went with. You know, listen, you got to have a good time. I think when guys joke with each other and laugh together and cry together, that really puts them in the next level and sacrifice them for each other. You know, if you like a guy and you're having a good time and you know, every coach will stress, you know, the family aspect of the game. You know, when you're family, you go and you sacrifice for each other. And that's what you need to do in order to win a Super Bowl and be a champion and you know, do the things that our great defense did. Is, you know, we were willing, you know, we were happier, you know, when another guy next to us made a play or did something just as much as when we did, you know, so unselfish. And it was, it just made us better and better.
What do you think of when you think of that night in Tampa?
Well, the whole day, the night, you know, I just can't look at the night. I got to look at the whole day, you know, waking up the night before Brian, playing, you know, a video for us and getting us all wound up. I mean, it was the toughest night I ever had to sleep in ever. And going to the game, I mean, I was ready to go early. I had the police actually take me over about 6 hours before the game. And I went to the locker room, and I'll tell you this story. And I walked in and all the, the Super Bowl magazines were on everyone's bench. And so I'm sitting on the bench by myself. A couple of trainers were there. And I'm going through. And then I opened the middle of the magazine. And it was a picture of all the Super Bowl rings previously. And I said, my God, we have an opportunity here. I go, I hope everybody in this locker room realizes what today's game means. So I went to everybody's locker and I cut out the picture of the rings. I went to the training room, I got tape, and I hung it up in everyone's locker. So the first thing they saw was a picture of all the Super Bowl rings when they came to the locker room. And it was pretty fun because I sat there and I didn't say two words. And when everybody walked in, they went, and the first thing they did was grab the Super Bowl rings and look, oh man. And I think that
like, gotta win today, man.
Yeah, that really gave the guys like a lift. I still get chills. Like,
dude, right. I was over at Whiskey Joe's having beer at that time, 6 hours for the game. So I mean, I appreciate that, man. I know exactly where I was, man.
Yeah, it was fun coming in. And then when I think the biggest highlight was when, you know, Brian came up to me and says, "I want you to lead the team out." And I was like, holy mackerel, this is, you know, my adrenaline shot through the sky. And I think there's even a video of it where I'm in the tunnel getting ready to come out and a guy like tries to push me back and I'm ready to stab the guy in the neck. Like, don't touch me. I'm ready to like explode. And it was a great night. I remember, you know, the first series to the last, I didn't want to come off the field. Like, it was 34-7. I think there was 5 minutes left and they're trying to get everybody in. And I'm like, not until that clock says 0-0-0, I'm not coming off this field. And then finally, you know, I think with 3 minutes left, I came off, but it was unbelievable. It was something that you can go and play back in your mind 100 times like it was yesterday.
Tony Siragusa is our guest. Goose is always selling something, doing something, riding a boat, making food. What are you doing? You're involved in airplanes. Where are you flying me, Goose?
Wherever you want to go. I own a company called Titan Aviation out of Morristown, New Jersey. We have an office down in Boca Raton, and we fly Ray. We fly a lot of rappers. We fly a lot of business people all around the country, all around the world, really. It's Titan Aviation, and you could, if you want a private jet somewhere and you're looking for a great deal, we try to, you know, the private jet industry is a very, cutthroat business. People like, you know, don't really take care of their customers. And I want to treat, just like what we've been talking about earlier, you know, family. I try to treat all of our customers like they're, you know, their family. And, you know, we go over and above. And we're 24 hours. I have people on call 24 hours that'll book your plane. You know, we had Saquon the other day call us, needed a flight in like 3 hours. And we got him on a plane. He had to get over to Vegas. So it was, it's fun. It's fun. It's catering to people, which my people do very well. And
well, you always got them worked. You know what I mean? Like when I make a 10 a.m. date with Sarah Goose, he's going to show up. You know, like you have fun and you cut up and, you know, all of that and the Sopranos episode, all that. But like sure. There's something about you that you're not some guy that's going to be fat assing out on a golf course all day. You have to do something, right? Like yeah. Your mind.
Yeah. I mean, I play golf. Don't get me wrong. I play golf. I fish a lot. Spend a lot of time with my family.
But you'd have to do something competitive more than that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's great is, you know, my son now is playing for Villanova football. So we're, you know, getting to go to the games and tailgate a little bit. I mean, it's an experience that everybody who's watching your, you know, your show got to do.
Only a guy from Jersey would want to go to Philly.
Yeah. With helmets on.
Good. Goose, you know, I have a fun story here because Mike Flynn and I rode in the parade together, and I wasn't supposed to ride in it. I went down, I was sick. I was trying to get guys out to the barn, right? Like Mulatalo was going to come to his fire dance and all that. And I wound up riding the parade, and the videotape was lost for 19 and a half years. I've been busting Flynn, and you know, I'm closer with Flynn than probably any of you guys, and I've been crushing him for 20 years. He found the pandemic. Only good thing come out of the pandemic is at the end of May, Flynn's like, I finally went through my garage. I found the tape. So I actually have the video, 1 hour and 6 minutes of the entire parade route and everything about the parade. You were sort of the star. Your daughter was actually the star of the parade, right? Like yeah, the parade was something that I think you can do a million things in life, but it is a really, really uniquely weird thing. And I really longed to find that video. And I'm so happy I found it. I'm going to share the video this week. I've had a lot of the wives, you know, Kenzie Bowler, a bunch of people said, I really can't wait to see the video of the parade. Because most people, you don't ever see that. I've seen the game a bunch of times. The parade was one of those things so many people participated in, but it doesn't come back to you. You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable. I think one thing all the people in Baltimore really, you know, have to go and not overlook is how important and how great the two owners that they've had for the Ravens have been. I mean, the Modell family has, you know, David Modell and, you know, the things that they did with the billboards down in Tampa, you know, and representing, you know, the Ravens. And I mean, it's unbelievable. Then, you know, after they sold and Steve Bisciotti came in, I mean, you want to talk about a first class family and guy, his wife is great. Everybody, I mean, they exemplify exactly what Baltimore is all about. And you know, a lot of these other teams, I mean, if you look around the league, you have these egotistical maniacs that all they care about is themselves. and you know, and their team, and they try to buy winning, you know, buy Super Bowls and all this other stuff. But I mean, Baltimore is so lucky to have, you know, the Modell family and the Bisciotti family, I mean, as owners. So I just want to make sure this is the Super Bowl right here. There's David Modell and Art Modell. And
this is the videotape. This is the part where at the end, and you know, so many children here, Goose, you know what I mean? Like in
family, man, family.
20 years later, give me a little story on your family. I mean, we've lost David. I mean, look at that. I mean, you know, that dude, come on now. That doesn't put hair on the back of your neck, right?
You know, it's unbelievable. David did such an unbelievable job. You know, took care of everything. I'll tell you one story real quick. So my daughter, the year after we won the Super Bowl, and it wasn't just because we won the Super Bowl, was my wife was pregnant with my daughter, and she was bedridden a little bit, and it was a big concern to me. And when I spoke with Art about it and David, and they said they called me up, and I says, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to camp or whatever. This is the year that we won the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. And they said, listen, you worry about playing football, and we'll worry about your family and getting you back. And Art Modell actually had a helicopter up in Westminster at the airport.
Hold on, there you are, Goose. I see you. See you there? I found you. There you go.
Art Modell had a helicopter in case my wife went into pregnancy, went into labor, and would get me to New Jersey as fast as we could, because she couldn't really travel and come back down to Baltimore. So, I mean, when he did that for me, I would run through brick walls and do anything that gentleman asked me to do. I mean, what a class guy. Look at all the people. Look on top of the buildings. I mean, in the distance, it was great.
Well, Goose, I'm sitting here watching the video. I get all get misty eyed on you and all that.
There's travel safely, right there.
Huh?
My boys are. It's all around my room.
Oh man! I cut it off. I cut the video off right before you got to raise the trophy. So I want to make sure that I get to share this part, because we did capture that. There you are, right?
Yeah, there's my daughter Samantha.
Okay, well, there's a little Modell, 20 years. All these kids are 30 years old now. It's crazy, Goose.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, travel safely. Get a shot soon. Vaccinate yourself. Take care of your family. And let's do 25. Let's do 30 and 35 and 40 and all that other good stuff.
That'd be
right?
Nice, man. That'd be nice. Take care, Nest.
Take care of yourself. Tony Siragusa, my longtime friend, nemesis, one time held a knife up to my neck. The cake was good, though, Goose. The cake was fantastic.
Come on. I took care of it.
There he goes. Tony Siragusa up in Jersey, heading to Florida. Go buy a plane from Goose, or a plane ride from Goose. 20 years later, we're still celebrating Super Bowl 35 here. Going to have members of the team on. Going to put it all up at WNST.net and Baltimore Positive.